Welcome to day two of Graphically Speaking, the MA Graphic Communication Design WIP show here at CSM. First up today is Chris Hartman. Chris, welcome. Can you please give us an outline of your research topic, please?
Okay, so my research paper looked at how the construction of masculinity affects male vulnerability and reflected on the role of visual representation within this context as a way to both reinforce and oppose gender norms.
Thank you. What do you believe to be a positive portrayal of man?
So I think a more positive portrayal of a man would be a more inclusive one. If you look at, for example, current media representations, these representations do not represent men in real life, in my opinion. So as a result, children, teenagers, and adults look up to violent and angry men who are not capable of showing or dealing with emotions. And these media representations often even tell us that masculine is the opposite of feminine, imposing artificial boundaries of behavior. So we always have like binary categories, men or women, but nothing in between. Mm-hmm. So I think in this sense, a more positive portrayal would be a man who can be both and something in between, or can be feminine and masculine and doesn't depend on limiting gender stereotypes. And if you look, for example, at media representations in TV shows or movies, you will see that there's a lot of machismo or sexism or homophobia going on, and often represented in a very funny and ironic way. And the fact that it may seem entertaining for some people doesn't change the fact that sexism and homophobia is still there and unfortunately part of many people's life. And like I've said, media often put like people and humans in two categories, and I find it problematic that media representations represent hegemonic masculinity, which is the dominant norm of masculinity, and it's often presented as in a very appealing way to viewers, since the male protagonist who embodies the ideal of masculinity normally gets everything he wants, like women, economic success, and they're often also represented other men, but it's quite obvious which masculinity is a successful one. And so many TV shows follow the hierarchy of masculinities, and we often have on top like the hero, the cool guy, the strong protagonist, and we have often like supporting actors, usually the more unattractive friends of the male protagonist, and at the bottom we have subordinate masculinity, effeminate or gay men who are either totally absent or not even seen as men. And yeah, these representations put men into categories and justify violence or homophobia, since it gives the idea that it's a biological, natural way of organizing life. And in that sense, I think that a more diverse and inclusive gender representation is needed. Mm-hmm. Men can actually identify with. And also, I think a more positive portrayal would be to portray a man who can be vulnerable, who can talk about emotions, and who don't have to use sexist or homophobic language to demonstrate his own masculinity. And I do think, and to summarize, that portrayals of men who defend against the patriarchy are needed.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris. So you're offering a critique of current media representation in a way. Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between the media you're analysing and the medium you're choosing to publish in?
So the media I've been analysing was popular media. Media we consume the most and which has a bigger influence on our understanding of gender. So I've been looking at popular TV shows, movies, magazines, advertisements, so images we basically consume on a daily basis. And I was then asking myself which images were concerning me the most, and I archived them, put them in different folders. And since the focus of my research was male vulnerability, I was especially interested in images that portray both mental and physical invulnerability. And the medium I've chosen to publish in, or for the symposium last month, was a video and a magazine in which I mainly used collage and illustrations. And so my intention for the video was to recreate the rhythm in which we consume these images and I wanted to bombard the viewer with the images. And so I basically wanted to make something obvious visible, so the images we consume and confront the viewer with these images and make the viewer think about it. And the collage, I chose them because I was basically interacting with the images I was archiving, and so for me it was quite logical to interact with them and criticize them, change them, deconstruct them. And since I was working a lot with collage to visualize the statements of my research paper, I was looking for a way to talk about my research paper to my audience, which in the case of the symposium, were you guys, like the attendants of the symposium. And I decided I could talk about my research paper through my practical experiments instead of preparing a slideshow. So since my practical experiments were mainly manual, I thought that a format of a sign would be more appropriate to, since a sign is a format that is usually associated with manual techniques. And I also thought that by putting all my visual experiments together in a format of a sign, I would communicate my message more effectively, because if you just see maybe a collage, maybe you won't understand what I'm talking about, but by putting them together, by using the medium of a sign, I would express my message more effectively. And I also thought that using collage and manual mediums would stand in a stark contrast to the on-screen representations we consume, often unconsciously and uncritical. So basically took collage and so something manual, which stands in stark contrast, and I really wanted to interact with them consciously and critically. And yeah.
Thank you. So you've titled your research and ongoing work Boys Don't Cry. Is the purpose of Boys Don't Cry to raise awareness, or will you offer a solution of sorts? And if it is to raise awareness, do you believe that that raising awareness is enough?
So I do think that more awareness is definitely the starting point, because like patriarchal thinking seems for many people to be the natural way to organize life, especially men, think that it's just the way it is. And if we think, for example, about the way we dress or the language we use, etc., we take all these things for granted and never question them. And by simply accepting these things, these gender stereotypes, these categories, we are actually active agents in reinforcing them. So, for example, language we use on a daily basis. During my research, I talked to many people, and especially to young men and older men. And when I told them about the language we use, for example, in everyday, they were quite surprised because they were never really aware of it. About the language we use, for example, when you say, like, man up, or don't be a sissy, or don't be a girl. So I think it starts with awareness. And for example, I was talking a lot with my flatmate, and he was never actually questioning it. And since talking to people, and I think it starts with awareness. And also, if we look at media representation, I think media literacy, media awareness is important. If we are aware of what we actually look at, I think that can be the starting point.
Sure. You mentioned your flatmate. That brings me to the final question, really. Who is your audience, do you think? Society in general, or who needs that awareness to be brought to them?
I would say society in general, because gender stereotypes affect everyone. Because patriarchy is an ideology, not a gender, so anybody can actually suffer from patriarchy. But it's because what we think a man is sustained by how men and women interact with men. But at the same time, I was talking in my research paper about male vulnerability, and the problem is that men often think that gender studies or feminism is a topic that doesn't affect them, and they often associate with women's movement. They aren't really aware that patriarchy is a topic that affects them as well. So I would say society in general, but I wanted especially to address men.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chris, for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you very much for listening
today. Thank you.